Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 36. This week, we are talking about Mission Impossible Fallout, the sixth installment of the Mission Impossible franchise. I would argue this might be one of the best franchises there is, if not the best.
You can't fight the friction! If for anybody that listened to the last episode all the way to the end, I had a great impression of the trailer music that I hope to never have to hear again, even though it was a really badass trailer. I just could not see that trailer again. But yes, probably the best franchise out there at this moment as far as an action franchise. Most consistent, at least.
Yeah. So we'll have that non-spoiler review and spoiler review for you. And we will actually rank the Mission Impossible movies, which feels tough.
Very tough.
But we'll do it.
I was having trouble.
All right, but some movie news to start us off. MoviePass, our godsend that came around last August. The old $9.95 for as many movies as you want, which turned into one movie a day, which turned into you can only see the same movie once, and then turned into surge pricing and all this jazz, is on its last tiny leg. I don't know if it's officially dead yet, but it is essentially dead. They ran out of money, basically had to file with the SEC for some the whole ordeal, and basically, people were trying to use it over the weekend. Wasn't working. Every single movie was surge priced to like $8 for the movie. You couldn't even see Mission Impossible using it. It's about dead.
I just like how they kept adding rules. And like, I'm fine with it. Like, they need to make money. But this weekend, they're like,
yeah,
yo, we're just not going to let our users see Mission Impossible, which is the movie everybody wants to see this weekend. And apparently, they had an all hands today, which for those of you that aren't in business, that just means like the entire company gets together and the executives and higher ups just talk about initiatives and like the direction of the company. I'm sure it was all doom and gloom today, but they basically announced like, we will not be letting users see the big releases anymore on the opening weekend. So I think they specifically mentioned the Christopher Robin movie. And then what was the other one that'll be coming out soon that'll be big? Whatever the next release is in the next 2 weeks.
The Meg?
The Meg, yeah. They will not be letting people see the Meg and Christopher Robin movie on the opening weekend. Basically, I think they're just going to like not let people use it anymore until weekends later. And then still, when you go and see it, they're going to have like $6 upcharges on it. So writing's on the wall. This thing's going to be done soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to keep it. I feel like I should just like go in and cancel it. I just like don't trust them once they do go out of business.
I think
to, like,
you might want to check.
Me.
They might like renew tomorrow, so I would probably cancel because I don't think they're going to. I already did the annual pass. I'm looking into Cinemia, possibly AMC A-List, even though those are far away from me. But I can't go back to paying $14 even for a matinee for some of these movies we're seeing.
Yeah. So rest in peace to that. Although thank them for starting the whole subscription-based model for tickets.
They're not dead yet. But
next up, Ryan Reynolds is going to produce Stoned Alone, which is an R-rated, in a way, reimagining of Home Alone. Basically, this is going to be about a 20-something weed-growing loser, as the synopsis says, that misses his flight for a vacation, decides to make the best of it and get super high and baked at home, and he starts to tweak out and thinks that someone broke in and there are robbers in his house. So, all right, so Reynolds is producing, not starring. As 20-something, Reynolds is like 42 at this point, so
he still looks
great for it.
My goodness!
Oh, of course, of course. What do you think about this? You think you interested?
It sounds like something the Wayans brothers would do in the early 2000s. So immediate thoughts, no. But I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds. He doesn't do too many bad things, so could be good. I'm not really part of the whole stoner. I really liked Super Troopers, and obviously, like, I'm just not part of that culture, really. So I'm not too interested in this. What about you?
Yeah, no, I don't. It could be funny. I love the Harold and Kumar movies.
Fantastic.
I think they're all hilarious.
Yeah.
So if this is sort of right up the same realm, if they like, it could be pretty funny. It feels like it's not going to be like actually good, but like good bad. Feels like what it could be. Like there'll be like a good amount of chuckles. It'll be something that like I would be on like Comedy Central on like a Saturday afternoon if I like had nothing to do and I was like hungover or something. I'd be like, oh, Nice. Stoned Alone is on. All right.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I can just turn this on in the background while I struggle through the day.
Yeah, I feel you.
So I guess, all right. I wonder if this is going to be on Netflix, though, now that Ryan Reynolds is kind of like pairing up with them for like a couple other things. That'd be interesting.
I could see
feel
that.
Like a Netflix movie.
That'd be a good fit. Yeah, this does not seem like a wide theater release type movie. Just the title alone is going to turn some of these PC parents and people off.
Next up, Star Wars Episode 9 has announced its cast, which includes Mark Hamill, who Force died or something in The Last Jedi, who knows. Carrie Fisher, who, rest in peace, actually died. I believe they're using unused footage from The Force Awakens with her. Mm-hmm. Billy Dee Williams is back, Anthony Daniels, and newcomers, Naomi Ackie and Richard E. Grant. Obviously, with all the usual new suspects that have been in the new trilogy. Notably missing from the announcement is Carrie Russell, though, which a couple of weeks ago it was announced that she was going to be in it.
That is
so
weird.
Either she hasn't like officially signed or something, or they're just like trying to like play it quiet, or maybe she's just, like not in it that much.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Mark Hamill's there. Obviously, we'll be getting Force Ghost, or maybe he's still alive. No, he's dead. Billy Dee Williams, always great to finally have that confirmed. I didn't know who the newcomers were. I googled Naomi Ackie. Fine. Richard E. Grant looks like an alien already, so I'm sure he'll play some badass alien. But Carrie Russell, I don't know if we ever covered that announcement, but she is incredible in the Americans. Was great in Mission Impossible. Everything she does, she's really good in. So I'm pumped to see her join the franchise. I hope she's a villain, and not Rey's mom.
Yeah. I don't have much to say about this. Cool. I guess.
You're a hater. You're a hater raid over there.
Next up, Netflix has acquired Andy Serkis's Mowgli, which he directed from Warner Brothers, and plans a 2019 streaming release. So Mowgli was actually supposed to come out in November, I think, from Warner Brothers, and it's a pretty expensive movie, it sounds like. However, you know, it's two, three years removed from the Jungle Book that Disney put out. Mm-hmm. But I believe this one was supposed to be like a little bit darker, a little bit more serious. But Warner Brothers scrapped it, sold it to Netflix. That's Netflix's move. That's what they did with Cloverfield Paradox. That's what they've been trying to do with some other movies. So I don't know if that bodes well for Mowgli, if it's just not
that
great,
that
or
it's
if
bad. Yeah.
I feel like that's got to be what it is, or maybe Warner Brothers is just sort of like tweaking out about the fact that Jungle Book did so well and that was so soon or so recent, and maybe like people won't be like, oh, I need to go see a Jungle Book movie again already, but I don't know.
I feel like it wouldn't hurt them to just even hold on to it for another year or two. I don't think CG is going to age that much in that time period, and just give it a couple more years to fester and then release it. But you don't want Netflix to start... And it already has started feeling like the dumping ground for movies that aren't good, and that's not a good thing for it to be known for.
Yeah. Yeah, the modern straight-to-DVD model isn't something that you really want.
The modern straight-to-DVD model is coming when we talk about Walmart.
Next up, Peter Dinklage is attached to star in a Rumpelstiltskin movie at Sony. That just, all right, I guess. I kind of feel bad for Peter Dinklage, you know?
Yeah.
He's like a really good actor, but it's just like, there's just not that much that he can do outside. You get like these weird little person roles or like creepy little roles, like Rumpelstiltskin, and they're just like, Dinklage, get him.
I know, and I was thinking that too, and I put this in here because I just thought like, this is like a The Onion article. Like Sony, of course, is attached to it. But I feel bad with, like, he's obviously a badass in Game of Thrones, but like after that's done, I hope he doesn't just get typecasted, but like just in these weird, ugly little troll roles. Like he's so good.
Yeah. Feel bad for him. We're not going to talk about it, but there was a trailer that came out, with him called, I Think We're Alone Now.
I don't know what it's about, but it looks weird and cool.
Yeah, it seems like he thinks he's like the last person on Earth and then comes across someone, which is how like a lot of those movies go.
It was barely a teaser, so we're skipping it, but look out for that one.
Yeah. Next up, Justin Theroux is going to voice star in Disney's Lady and the Tramp remake, which is going to be a live-action CGI hybrid, which is the hot thing to do these days. He is going to be the Tramp.
Wait, is the tramp the girl?
No, the tramp is the boy, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lady. They're both girls. No. I don't really have a connection to this. Do you? I think I watched this barely when I was a kid. Not really my kind of movie. Yeah. I was like, show me action and boogers and farts. And like, I didn't care about this romance.
I just don't really like remember. Like, I know I've seen it and watched it when I was a kid. I just don't really remember it all that well. Obviously, I remember like the whole spaghetti thing. But outside of that, I don't know. It's not really a nostalgic thing.
Me neither. But we love us some Justin Theroux, so we'll have to keep an eye on this. But side note, another live-action cartoon hybrid, Sonic the Hedgehog, with Jim Carrey and James Marsden, started filming today. So hopefully we get to see some Instagrams or footage or however the hell that movie is going to end up.
I'm still just like haunted in my dreams by the thinking about the Rugrats live action CGI
weird
hybrid.
Like shriveled bean onion head children. They're gonna look like this is probably too old for you, but have you ever heard of the Garbage Pail Kids and that movie?
Oh yes,
that is some terrifying visual creature design, and I think that's what it's gonna end up like. But go back and watch some of that stuff. It is fucking weird, man.
Last movie news story of the week. In this past month, there was a youth Thai soccer team that got trapped in a cave somehow, and they had to be rescued, and they were rescued. Although a Thai Navy SEAL died in trying to get them oxygen. But basically, obviously, with any big sort of news story that ends in, I guess, either tragedy, they'd probably, if it was tragic, they would do it anyways. But the fact that it's uplifting helps for them, for Hollywood. Six movies and a documentary are in the works based on this story. The first of which is supposed to be from the God's Not Dead creators, which, all right. But then obviously there's all these other ones. I mean, come on.
Do you think one of them's going to be directed by Peter Berg and star Mark Wahlberg?
Except they just change it to like a Boston soccer team ended up in Thailand somehow.
Well, how are we going to get out of the cave? We're not going to be able to get out of the cave. Don't you guys want to get out of the cave? Come on, just pee in the corner. Eat. You got to eat. So somebody's got to eat. You got to eat your friend.
And instead of like actual Navy SEALs like swimming down to like help them get out, he's the coach and he just like carries them all to swim out.
Boy, they did not wait long. Six movies or documentaries in the works. A little ridiculous, but you knew it was coming. Yeah. It is quite a story. I was rooting for him. Only one death, and it was one of the heroes trying to save him. So I'm sure this would be good. I'd rather watch a documentary than a movie.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's it for movie news. We got a couple TV news stories. Altered Carbon, which is a Netflix sci-fi series that had its first season back in the fall, has been renewed for a season two with a new star in Anthony Mackie taking over for Joel Kinnaman. I believe he's going to play the same character. I didn't watch this, but are they like robots or something, and that's why he can take over?
It's in line with what they do in the comics. As I read that people were happy with this and they're following the same story, so I think yes, they get like new bodies or something. So I think this is expected. We're not just getting like a completely recasted lead character. So I think people are happy about this, and Anthony Mackie, he's been good and stuff, so happy he's getting a leading role.
Yeah. Next up, Who Is America? Sacha Baron Cohen's new, essentially just a troll show. More than doubles its audience after 7 days, which, you know, I can believe, because the second episode was, while the first episode was funny and sort of like eye-opening at times, the second episode was way more outlandish. A congressman resigned because of it. Thank God, as he should have. But clearly, it's going to be a success. I haven't watched the most recent episode, but I imagine it does some crazy shit.
Yeah, I can't wait till the Sarah Palin bit. I know they've got a bunch of other celebs. He essentially just plays four hilarious characters that just troll people in high-profile positions, and it is ending people's careers. It is getting people talking. It's like out of nowhere become the most culturally relevant show right now, and I cannot wait to watch the rest of the season.
Yeah. Like, people are just like Sarah Palin has been threatening to sue him since before the first episode even premiered, so, you know, something's not good there, which I just can't wait to see. Next up, last news story of the week. Walmart is developing a streaming service to compete with Netflix and Amazon. targeting middle American tastes in programming, so...
You know those bins that they have in the store with a bunch of, like, really bad DVDs that nobody wants to buy that are, like, a dollar? I can imagine that this is going to be worse than the Netflix dumping ground that it's becoming.
So the company hasn't officially made a decision or formally greenlit it yet. Still in the early stages of development, although they're expected to make a decision on moving forward in late summer, which we're essentially in late summer right now, or early fall. They're teaming up with Mark Greenberg, who was the chief executive at Epix, okay, and then held a senior position at Showtime and HBO. So I guess, like, that's good for them, but why?
You know... If you would have told me, well, I think when I first discovered Amazon Prime streaming, I was like, what is this? What are they doing? And then when I kind of first heard they were doing their own originals, I was like, it's still kind of weird, but now it's commonplace. It just seems weird for a non-e-commerce centric platform to start a streaming service, like a brick and mortar traditional store. Like, what's next? Lowe's streaming service?
It just feels very idiocracy type thing to happen.
Like, the first show that they're going to announce is Being Kicked in the Nuts or whatever one of those shows were from Idiocracy.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so that is it for news this week. Time for Mission Impossible Fallout non-spoiler review. So, Mission Impossible, number one at the box office this weekend, made $61.5 million domestic, $153.5 worldwide on a $178 million budget. So, good for them. Crossed it. 97% on Rotten Tomatoes with an average rating of 8.4. 92% audience score, average rating of 4.5 out of 5. We got Ethan Hunt back. Tom Cruise is back. Basically, all the people from the fifth movie, from Rogue Nation,
and that's
back.
That's part of the movie's strength, is we've grown to know these characters a little. It's nice to see an ensemble cast. Like, we know these people. They're funny. We remember their little hijinks.
Yeah, and this is like the first one that feels like an actual continuation of like a previous story. Like, it feels the most like a sequel, whereas the other ones are pretty standalone.
The kind of a new baddie, a new threat every time.
Yeah.
And I really wish I watched the last one before this, because I didn't even realize that the villain was from the last one, because I had only seen the last one in the theaters. So,
yeah.
Pro tip, rewatch the last one.
Yeah. But basically, we have the villain from the last one, Solomon Lane, who ran the Syndicate, which was just a bunch of rogue agents. It was a rogue nation, as the title of the
movie
might
say.
worldwide, basically just planning these terrorist threats and plots and stuff like that. But he got brought down. Ethan Hunt captured him, as always, in the last one. But in the wake of the fallout of that,
you might say there's been some fallout.
the terrorists or the rogue agents that were a part of the Syndicate have formed this new thing called the Apostles, basically like terrorists for hire.
Would you say they're somewhat of a ghost nation? Ooh. I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to force things in. Go ahead.
But Ethan Hunt gets a mission presented to him at the beginning, and he accepts it. And so we set off on this whole thing. We get a little bit of CIA crossover. Angela Bassett is like the CIA director. Henry Cavill is basically the person that is going along with Ethan Hunt on his mission, because they have some sort of deal or oversight because of the CIA for this. I still don't understand how the IMF functions into the CIA action, like the whole government and how it all works.
Different branches of government and different teams for different scenarios. And it seems the IMF has like kind of lost its way, and a lot of other higher power factions of the government don't believe that the impossible mission force is a crew that is needed these days. There's been some trust issues. So the CIA is sending their man, who's more like a hammer than a scalpel, and that was a fun dynamic as well. Can you tell we've seen the trailer a million times?
All right, well, don't really want to spoil anything else, just give you the baseline of the plot there. What did you think about this movie?
I loved it. Like you said in the beginning, this is the franchise that keeps on giving. It's only gotten better with time, and that is really hard to do. They aren't getting too crazy. They're not having missions on the moon or anything. They've managed to keep it grounded. Although I don't know where you'd go from here, really, with the stakes. But just massive props to Tom Cruise. I mean, the guy's a machine. Personal Tom Cruise aside, probably a piece of shit. Terrible world views and personal views. But good God, he's the greatest action star of all time. What about you?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I don't think it's quite the level of like greatest action movie of all time, and I don't even know if I'd put it at like number one of the century. Like some people are saying,
I think it fell victim to its own hype for me as well. It was so overhyped, and I went in there expecting greatness, and I got it. But you know, we fall forward to that all the time.
But it's still just entertaining as hell. Had me on the edge of my seat. I like it should just be called Mission Impossible, like sweaty hands.
Correct.
Essentially.
Correct.
I was like biting my nails throughout. I didn't know what to expect, and there's so many good like twists and turns that, you know, there's a couple you might suspect. There's some others that you might not, but they all work pretty well. I never like rolled my eyes at any of them like I do in some other movies. Like you said, Tom Cruise just outstanding. He just kills it, and I think he was given like a little bit more here, and I feel like he's actually growing. Like Ethan Hunt, the character, is growing in the franchise as it moves on. Like, not all his plans work out,
and he takes some hits. He's kind of this movie, man.
Yeah, he's almost like kind of washed up Ethan Hunt at this point. And like that'll happen when like your country turns on you and your organization turns on you a million times,
40 times, which
might be my only complaint about the series, is that it feels like every single movie it's, oh, Ethan went rogue again, he better watch out because the IMF has turned on him and they want to arrest him, or the US wants to arrest him, or like all this stuff, which I guess like, you know, comes with the job description.
That's
but
the job.
Still,
And that's what people were laughing about in the trailer, was like, how many times can we turn on him? How many times? And we're just like, six times. Currently six times. But yeah, this is the first time that they took the director from the last one and gave him another movie. And I think just having that consistency really helped. The movie looked incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some really sweet shots.
It just felt, what would we see last? Skyscraper? And when you go from that silliness and that CG fest to this, I was just looking at these action scenes and being like, this is terrifying because it doesn't look insane and over-visually stimulating, but it just looks real.
And it also helps that Tom Cruise does a lot of the stunts.
Yeah.
Like, he always, like, each movie he does, like, one absolutely absurd stunt. Like, the last one he did, he, like, rode on the side of a plane, like, 30 times
while it
took off.
This one was the Halo jump, which I heard he had to do hundreds of times to get
the
taste.
Yeah, he had
to
do it 90 times.
I skydived once, and it was taxing. I can't imagine doing from the heights that he had to do 90 plus times.
He learned how to fly a helicopter. He broke his ankle jumping from a roof to another roof.
Which was
roof.
Like a $90+ million insurance mistake, which had people worried about the budget ramifications of the movie.
Yeah, so like his dedication really helps in that regard, where it doesn't feel like it's all fake, and I think that really contributes to the fact that like, while the stakes in the movies are pretty high, they still feel like legitimate things that could possibly happen, like if whatever. So it helps that the shots aren't absolutely absurd. The stunts aren't absolutely ridiculous outside of like some, like obviously they're movie-fied and supposed to be as entertaining as possible, but like you can see them happening.
And he gets really messed up doing them. He's not an unstoppable force. He is.
Yeah.
He's like incredible, but he takes hits and, you know, he's got cuts and he's limping and, yeah, he's not perfect, but it just adds levity to it.
Even Henry Cavill in this movie gets beat up.
Yeah.
And, like, they present him as, like, a big, strong man, like he is, like, just towering over Tom Cruise. But there's a scene where you'll see it in the trailer where he locks and loads his fists. He gets beat up in that scene pretty bad, too.
Both get messed up.
Yeah.
And that brings me to one of my points is the fight scenes. Just the fist-to-fist fight scenes are incredible.
Oh,
the choreography, the non-shaky cam, the cuts, the audio, just everything. I can't go back to shaky cam after watching this movie.
I just wish that they had more hand-to-hand fight scenes. It felt like they kind of lacked. They had maybe like three, I guess. Like they had that bathroom one, and then there was like maybe a couple other like brief ones, but there wasn't really any like big hand-to-hand fighting. There was a lot of chasing.
Yes, which I loved. I'm a sucker for a good motorcycle or car chase, and boy, there's one that lasts for about an hour, it felt like. But I still was on the edge of my seat.
almost the entire second act is like a chase.
Yeah, there was
scene.
One point where I was like, "Oh man, that was awesome." Wait, whoop, they're still going. Yep, yeah, and they went for like another 25 minutes.
I know. Jesus. And that was a bit taxing on me personally. I wasn't the biggest fan of how long the one chase sequence went, and then the fact that the third act kind of features a big chase sequence again, granted in a different form. Kind of was, I was kind of like, ah, can we just like, I just want to see them just
stop.
Duke it out again.
Like, someone stop. It's either running or racing or boating or flying. Or, yeah, everyone's moving.
Someone looked up or tracked how much Tom Cruise runs in movies. Yeah. And I think the Mission Impossible movies where Tom Cruise runs more make more money.
He definitely like wins his Fitbit competitions with his friends.
Outside of the action and stuff like that, the villain, I don't know, I could have asked like a little bit more from him. I do think he's a pretty good villain. I thought he was great in the last one, but someone was like a little bit lacking in this one. We can get into it in spoilers.
Yeah, I kind of agreed. I still didn't really understand fully what his motives were. Like, does he just really hate Ethan Hunt? Like, and maybe they explained it more in the last one, but why did he care so much about Hunt? Just because Hunt caught him? Did like Hunt kill his family or something?
Yeah, because Hunt caught him in the last one.
But did he like that's it? He didn't like murder his
family.
No,
because they point out the whole manifesto thing for the apostles or whatever. They point out that like, and I think this was taken from him in the last one. How it's like. You have to have like great destruction or great tragedy to have like greater peace or something like that. And that's like his whole MO is just like mess up the world so they can rebuild or something like that, which.
But it's still just because Hunt stopped or caught him, not because he like murdered his family's village or anything like that. Like that was it. He just hates Hunt because Hunt stopped.
That's his grudge with Hunt.
That's not that much motivation or like, yeah.
Yeah. The score was outstanding.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too Dark Knight, Zimmer-esque for me, but the rest of it, I was happy with it.
There wasn't enough of the Mission Impossible thing.
I agree.
Stuff.
Yeah,
it kind of teased me, and then like I believe in the second act was like the first time that I noticed it, and it still like wasn't even the
straightforward
one.
They never
go into
the campy. They never went that far. They kind of just. Made it epically sounding in a couple, like hinted in a couple spots, but they never went all in.
I like the fact that you brought up the Dark Knight Hans Zimmer stuff, because there were times when I was sitting in this movie and I was like, this feels like one of the better action movies or bigger like spectacles and bigger, just like, I feel like just enthralled by this blockbuster since The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I agree.
And it had like that same tone where like, it's serious, but it's like not overly serious where I'm like, oh my god, like super moody or something like that.
It did kind of feel like a Nolan movie. Like he does really great action, really good visuals, and has levity and comedy without feeling too silly or like the type of style you'd find in a Marvel movie as far as comedy goes.
I'm trying to think of what else there was.
I had two
me.
More things. I thought the newcomers were really good, especially a female character that you'll meet in this movie. I really liked her a lot. I want to see more of her, hopefully in the next one, if we get a next one. What do you think about her? Well, I guess we can't really talk too much about her. It's part of the story.
She was all right. I can agree that I wish there was like a little bit more of her. I also just like didn't really get her MO for a little bit. But it did feel like they wanted to build her into something that will be in future installments.
I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, because he's not in any of the trailers, but did they just forget about Hawkeye? Jeremy Renner?
He's not supposed to be... Was he even in the last one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I believe in the fourth one... I believe in the fourth one was when they first brought him in, and he was supposed to be like, they like wanted him to like take over the franchise from Tom Cruise, like they did with him and Matt Damon for the Bourne movies, which didn't work out.
Oh my god,
and,
this poor guy.
And instead, it was like, holy shit, that movie was badass. Tom Cruise is sweet, and then Tom Cruise is like, all right, I'm doing another one, and then it was like,
so
he's got punked out of
two massive action franchises. Poor Jeremy Renner. He just broke both his arms, too. He's not barely... He's out of the Marvel movies these days. This poor pug-faced little guy.
Yeah. Sad. So sad. Also, Alec Baldwin was back.
Yep.
That was nice.
Yep.
I like Alec Baldwin.
Yep.
Just the right amount of him, too, I believe.
Yep.
because I don't want too much.
No, he's kind
of
silly. I want, like, you know, you know. I just remind he reminds me of Jack from 30 Rock. But yeah, he was good. He was good.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I don't have much else.
I think I'm
anything
good.
Else? All right. Let's give grades and then let's rank where our Mission Impossible.
I will give this an A. It was everything I wanted and more. Wow. It is almost the perfect action movie. Was not disappointed by it. A little overhyped, of course, by the media and the Rotten Tomato scores, but overall, I can't wait to see it again, and it's definitely an A for me.
I am going B+. Although I wish there was like another thing that I could do for like between B+ and A-. I just wish there was a plateau right in the middle of it, because that's where it would land.
So B++ or an A-.
Yes. Yeah. I like the A-. Okay. Minus. That one's good for me. All right. Let's rank these bad boys.
You go first. I'm trying to find my ranking that I made earlier.
Okay. We'll start with bottom.
Bottom up?
Last.
Worst to
bottom
best.
Worst first. Mission Impossible 2 is just the down point in the franchise. John Woo directed it. However, it does deserve some commendation for being like the one that really sort of jump started it being like this hyperactive franchise. Yeah. Like, I don't know if they didn't do that, I don't know if the fourth one and the fifth one and the sixth one would have been as action packed as they are. Because like the first one is an action movie, but it's much more of a spy thriller than an action movie. And then the second one just went straight campy, ridiculous action.
And two gave us the Limp Bizkit version of the theme, so it has that too. So props.
True, good point. Next up for me would be Rogue Nation. Like you, I just didn't remember it well enough. I remember seeing it in the theater and being like, "Oh, that was pretty good." I remember the Tom Cruise breathing underwater thing.
But
for
that
like
was
10
the
minutes
silliest part of the movie. Yeah.
And but I don't know. It was a little forgettable to me. I just didn't connect with it as much as I did with the rest of them. But it still leaps and bounds better than the second one. So there's a major drop off from 5 to 2 there. Yeah. After that, I think I am going with Mission Impossible Fallout.
Wow, okay.
However, I do think that it will most likely rise on a repeat viewing. I think I just have like this weird like short-term nostalgia for Ghost Protocol as well. Yeah. That like because of like the Burj Khalifa scene and just like loving that.
Well,
so
I can
much
tell our
so
number one's
going
to be the same.
Do you?
Oh, or you might throw me a number 3. No, go ahead.
Next up is Mission Impossible, the first one. Just kicked it off. It's such a good thriller. Some of it doesn't really hold up because of like how like the technology works out in today, like on repeat viewings. Some of it is a little like eye rolling, like come on.
Yeah.
Like why are they like constantly backstabbing each other and stuff like that? But it's still just absolutely thrilling. The scene in Fort Knox, wherever the hell it is, where they have to steal like the computer thing.
Classic.
That is just like one of the most tense, entertaining scenes in any movie, and also the most expertly used theme.
Yes, epic. The helicopter, train, so whatever scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Then, next up, I'm going Ghost Protocol.
Wow. Okay. I see where this is going.
So Ghost Protocol, just amazing. It was a 5-year jump from the third to Ghost Protocol. So that's a long time to wait, but it sort of rebooted it, gave it this like action-packed vibe that we're getting and that we've gotten in the last two movies as well. Brad Bird directed it, Incredibles director. It was awesome. I do think he missed out on like some certain things that the other two most recent ones do really well. But the action is just insane. The set pieces are insane. Which leaves Mission Impossible 3 as my number one. J.J. Abrams directed it. I think that was the longest jump from sequel to sequel. That was 6 years right there. Philip Seymour Hoffman is the best villain that has been in this
so
series.
Good. He's so good.
Billy Crudup is amazing. Philip Seymour Hoffman is just like straight up evil in this movie too, and he is just he just cuts and bites into it.
When Tom Cruise when he sees like, "Hey, wake up, we caught you," he's like, "Oh, that's cool. Do you have a wife or a girlfriend? Because I'm gonna find her. I'm gonna hurt her." And Tom Cruise is like, "What's the rabbit's foot?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna mess up your life, man. You're screwed." He's such a badass.
So good. So good. Billy Crudup is amazing. It also helps. I think this one has a much better emotional core to it because of
Tom
Cruise and Michelle Monaghan's like relationship. Yeah. he actually has a romantic relationship in this, and like a little bit like more emotional stakes than just like trying to save the world or something like that, or whatever. The action is sweet. It does it does like look pretty mid-2000s-y when you look at it. Certain styles and certain colors just pop a little bit more that are kind of like mess up with your eyes, but it's just so entertaining. And the villain in it, and the fact that it's like, it doesn't feel like it's super end of the world, even though like end of the world, like nuclear attacks or shit like that are at play. You can't beat it. Philip Seymour Hoffman, it just adds like 90 points to the score. So
mine are pretty similar to yours. I'm going to go with 2, obviously at the bottom, not much more we could say about that. Doves and guns and slow motion. And there's a motorcycle fight in the sand, I think, where they're literally swinging bikes at each other, like instead of punching. Ridiculous. But almost my favorite, just because that Limp Bizkit score. No, I'm just kidding. It was trash. Then I'll go number 1. Yeah, it's good, but it's too. It's very spy-like, and I think the rest just resonate with me more as action films. I'll go with number 5 then. Yeah, it was really, really good. Just I don't really remember it. Maybe it would hold up more on a rewatch. Followed by number 6, which is the latest one, for number 3. And then, yeah, Mission Impossible 3 is my number 2 favorite. I was so close to putting it number 1 just because I love it so much. Abrams did a great job. That scene where he's on the highway and he's, like, running, of course,
missile
comes in and it blasts him, like, 10 feet into a car and he has to get up and keep running. The whole Carrie Russell subplot in the beginning where they're flying around those wind turbines and then she, like, dies and her eyes go 2 different ways. I'll never remember that or never forget that death scene. Just a fantastic the scene where he has to swing between 2 buildings, it just gives him more of an emotional journey because like this isn't saving the world, this is just saving his wife. And like he's just when he goes rogue and he's trying to figure out, he's like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. Okay, we can do this, and he's just like pulling just ideas out of nowhere. But then I think number 4, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, the scene where he has to like impersonate somebody and there's those two briefcases that are like faxing the copies of of the papers to each other, and Simon Pegg's got that fake arm, so intense. God, this franchise is good. We could talk about all of these movies all day. We did it an injustice by not doing a full rewatch and doing a really long episode, but let's get into spoilers on the latest.
Maybe someday. All right, so stop listening if you don't want to hear spoilers. Spoiler section starting now. Okay. So, with the villain, you know, I like that character. I think he's a good actor, and I think he imbues like this sort of like creepiness and just like that underlying, there is like sort of that Philip Seymour Hoffman underlying evil in there, except not as much. But I didn't really like, and I had a feeling this was going to happen with Henry Cavill. There were certain, like, not straight from the start or anything, but at certain times I was like, all right, there's someone up with Cavill.
Yeah.
I just didn't really like him as the villain. I didn't buy Cavill him or the other that dude. Much. Cavill.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that a lot of this was sort of like a faceless villain for up until the third act, essentially, or the end of the second act, kind of hurt it a little bit. The fact that, like, it was just
Really know the big bad.
It was it was the mission, and then there was like this fake person that they might have killed, they might have not killed in that bathroom scene, like who knew? And then it was like, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh well, guess what? The guy from the last one is back, and it's like, oh, all right, I guess he's gonna be a part of this somehow. And then it was like it was the Faceless Apostles organization, and then it was like also, oh, we're going to be fighting the White Widow's
goons.
Brother goons or whatever. And it was like, I don't really care about them. It just kind of, it suffered from not having just like one center focused villain.
Yeah, and
until the very end.
And then okay, this movie doesn't hold your hands. You really have to pay attention. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But they could have made the two villains' last names slightly different. I couldn't figure, I was like, Lane, Lark. They're both start with an L and they're 4 letters. Why couldn't one be like Odissimo or something, just random and different, and then the other one could be Lane or Lark. I couldn't keep track of who was who.
And even Henry Cavill's name in this was Walker.
Yeah.
And then he was actually Lark. Lark and Walker was like, come on, we don't need two like ALKs
that start with L's and have L's. Like, name them differently. Help your. I know that they're not treating us like idiots, and I love that, especially in a giant action blockbuster. But, yeah, it was a little confusing, a little hard to keep up. You really do have to watch this movie, which it's not a bad thing. But I also didn't expect Cavill to team up for so long with Ethan Hunt this movie. Yeah, it took a while for that twist to happen, but when it did, it was pretty satisfying once they started that off.
Yeah. I was a little worried about Cavill in the beginning. It felt like I couldn't tell if they were trying to have, and this, I mean, also this could have been just a part of him, you know, playing a role or playing a cover, like his cover for his actual like apostle alias or whatever. But I couldn't tell in the beginning if they were trying to have him be like somewhat incompetent or if he was just like, a total douchebag, or like he was like cocky but also like not as great as he seemed, or like what it was. And it seems like they went back and forth on it, and then like once they finally like landed and they got in like the fight in the not even during the fight, because he breaks the facial scanner thing, like after that, then it was like, okay, he's competent, he can do all
so
this now. It
was
like,
part of his master plan to pass out in the plane and make Lane make Hunt underestimate him, or did he almost immediately die there?
Right, yeah, I have no idea. That's why I was confused, and
that
I didn't understand.
That is a like, bold move. If he was one faking or two, like, Hunt will save me, and then he'll under it. Like, what?
Yeah.
But that scene was incredible. The plane jump, the lightning strike. My audience was like, oh, when he got struck. That was really cool. Back to the beginning real quick before I get too far. I really thought Ving Rhames was dead right in the beginning. And I thought, if there's any movie, it's the sixth entry when Tom Cruise may or may not be back, like, for them to actually have some finality on some of these characters. And then the rest of the movie, no one real important died except Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. I also speaking of getting faked out in the beginning, when it was like right after that opening, or after like the shootout scene, and they had the scientist or whatever you want to call him in like the cuff to the bed, they duped me so bad. I was like, holy shit.
So I expected something to be not right there. When they were basically like, they had bombed multiple cities, I was like, this is going to be a dark movie with real implications. But then when he's like, what if we have him read it on air, will you tell us? I'm like, oh, they're gonna get him. But yeah, the reveal was still incredible. Wolf Blitzer, did we get him?
Outstanding. Give him the Oscar. But yeah, and then we end up in whatchamacallit, Paris, or we're in Paris.
Yep,
is like essentially the next big stuff. That bathroom scene. Let's talk about that.
First of all, we talked over the weekend. You hadn't seen it yet. I didn't spoil whether or not the arm pumps were in the movie or not. Talk to me about your feelings during that that scene.
I loved it.
But there were no arm pumps.
They were. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. Yes, there
not
were.
The trailer not the intensity that the trailer had them in.
Oh, no. But they still made noise. They had, like, the whooshing of his, like, shirt.
I don't
know
if they did, because I remember being disappointed.
Yeah, they did, because it was after he took off his jacket and then, like, did it, and then he came out.
I think I remember the trailer stuff being way more intense, but they probably just did that for effect. I was bummed that it wasn't as loud, but I was just glad to see him pump his arms again.
Yeah. Well, in the trailer, actually, they also had, I'm pretty sure they had Tom Cruise in handcuffs in the bathroom scene, fighting.
And they also had a scene with him flying a helicopter into a truck in a forest that wasn't in the movie. I read that he had to literally cut out action in the final act because he was like, there was too much. But that bathroom scene, I was so pumped that that Asian dude was such a badass. He was kicking their ass. Yeah. I thought they would fight each other, but that was awesome on its own.
Same. I thought that was, I thought like right then was going to be when they were going to split up. Like, I thought that was going to be the extent of their working relationship, but no. And I liked just sort of like the slow build up where like it's the Asian dude realizing that like they're about to attack him and stuff. But man, like the sheer power, like just getting thrown through doors, through walls, through sinks, that, oh my God,
it was
so amazing.
Brutal.
And the fact that it took like a third person to come in to shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, they were done. Yeah. They were toast. That dude rocked them.
He was murdering them. And those are two of the best fighters out there. I was really impressed with that scene, for sure.
Yeah. I was just, like, super... I didn't really like, what's her name? Rebecca Ferguson's character. She's back, obviously. Ilsa Faust. I just didn't really like, because I like her character. I don't like what they're doing with her, where, like, in the last one, it was, like, this whole, like, oh, I can't tell you, blah, 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 blah. And then this one was, like, oh, I can't tell you again. Yeah. And it was, like, why didn't she just fucking tell him?
Because she loves him and wants to protect him, Austin. No, it was kind of frustrating to not know like what, exactly what her motives were the whole movie. It certainly kept me guessing, and every time I thought I knew, basically every time I was like, I know where this plot's going, I would stop myself and go, nope, flip that, and that's where it's actually going. Yeah. And that is very true for a lot of the twists in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then we go and meet the White Widow, Vanessa Kirby, the newcomer here. I was a little confused about the role that she was playing, even going into that scene.
Bad or are you good or what's the deal here?
Yeah. And I couldn't tell like if she was capable of fighting or what. And then obviously she whipped out that knife and stabbed that dude.
Yeah. I think she's capable of killing, but I don't think she's a good fighter because she just was like,
How did she whip that knife around? That's true. She handles a blade pretty well.
I like the scene when he's casually fighting off assassins. Just like they just keep coming at him. He's like, oh god.
I like how like no one in like that little like VIP area was like responding to the fact that he was beating the shit out of just like random people coming at him. They only started freaking out when someone pulled out a gun. I was like, why aren't you freaking out? These dudes are trying to stab someone.
Yeah. Like they're jumping over tables. And also Tom Cruise has killed 4 people already.
Yeah. So confusing.
I thought Tom Cruise acting like a bad guy was kind of funny when he's like, you know what? I kill women and children. I promise you, I'm a bad boy. Who baby?
Oh god, yeah, that was funny. I did like some of the humor. Like they didn't go overboard with the humor, and it didn't like always make me laugh. But I did like the lighthearted moments or like the kind of the jokey moments. I especially liked when they were reversing a little bit when it was Henry Cavill and Tom Cruise in the plane, and he was like laying out the plan and how he was gonna like print the mask off, and Cavill was like, That
actually
works.
Fools
like,
people?
Serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was great. Also, just sort of like a little tongue-in-cheek thing at themselves in previous movies, because it's like all they do. Always
but
do it.
And it also dupes him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Nice. I like that. A little foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. A little payoff there. I didn't even realize that. And then, whatever, we go back and meet the White Widow's...
The goons.
Yeah, the goons, and they're like all getting locked and loaded. And then we get our second little like Tom Cruise fake out dream thing.
Yeah, what was
thing,
that about?
Which was weird.
I actually thought for the first time ever he was actually going to have to kill somebody innocent and make that decision.
Yeah.
And of course it was a fake out.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I guess they only did it in the very first scene of the movie.
He does
and
a nap
then,
again. He does a little mini nap.
Oh yeah,
so
you're right.
I think it was
a
total of 3 or 4 times where he faked us.
Yeah, yeah. They also have one at the very end.
Yeah.
As like a little, the sun rise
well,
kind
we'll
of
get,
thing.
We're getting
out.
There.
Yeah. But then obviously, I mean, Ethan has his own goddamn plan here and just busts everything.
Oh, yeah. I like,
you know, which
everyone's just like, what the hell is he doing? And so is the audience. We're like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Which was fine. And that got us into like that extended car chase, motorcycle
like a
chase 50 thing.
50-minute
which was,
car
which
chase.
Was, yeah. Which was pretty sweet. I think that was pretty cool. And like him like getting hit or running into a car and like flying off was pretty sweet.
That was one of the only times where it looked amazing. And yes, that was Tom Cruise on a motorcycle doing that in the frame. But all the cars obviously were CG coming right at him. That was the only time I was like, that looks like kind of like CG. But it still looked amazing. Yeah. It sounded amazing. The sound effects when he's like whooshing by cars. Really, really cool scene.
Yes, good point. That was something that I loved. The fact that, like, because usually, you know, they'll just throw in like the cars honking or shit like that. But like you actually hear like the air whooshing by, and they make it different for the car versus when like Rebecca Ferguson is on her motorcycle, and it's like much more like rapid and repeatedly and louder. I don't know. It's a dumb thing to love, but I love that.
And they did a good job not making they made the soundtrack pretty silent during that scene, so you could just hear the intensity and the quickness of that of that scene. So
yeah.
Just an awesome scene.
Yeah. And then, I guess, pretty soon after that, we get them in the car.
Yes.
And that's
more
when we get
more
the police officer. Very, very tense scene. I actually really like that scene.
Oh,
The goons come up and they shoot her, and then Tom Cruise just pops them all off. But I really like that scene. Again, I didn't like the fact that then right after that, Rebecca Ferguson was chasing them and trying to whatever kill them or kill Lane or whoever.
Also, she's a better shot than that. She missed. Him, like in the face, like four times.
Yeah, yeah. And I also couldn't tell if like the bullets were going through the windshield or like the windshield was bulletproof or what was going on, because like the first one went through and then like the next three like did nothing. And I was like, oh, okay. And then and then it's, what was up with the kiss after? Let's just jumping forward like 5 minutes. What was up with the kiss between the White Widow and him?
That is way far ahead, I think. But I think she's just crazy horny, I think. Like, he's like, this guy's...
It's just like a weird move.
She likes him, but she knows she probably can't be with him. I don't know. It was kind of weird and out of place.
Like, there's, like, no payoff or, like, any sort of thing to...
It's a total Bond thing to do, and it didn't really fit. Because he's never been, like a sex symbol in these movies. Like, he barely kisses girls in these movies. I don't think he ever has, actually. He didn't kiss his wife in MI3, I don't think.
No. Yeah, so that, I don't know, that threw me off. And I was like, was that supposed to, like, try and piss off, you know, Rebecca Ferguson's character? Like, she assumed she was watching. Yeah. I was like, how would she know she's watching? Like, what? Because then clearly it had no effect on Rebecca Ferguson. She didn't care.
No. Yeah, it was out of place.
Yeah, I didn't get it. And then that's, like, where, like, that's like the beginning of about 700 twists right there.
Oh, so many.
Where it's like, oh, he has to, or then he goes and meets Rebecca Ferguson. She's like, oh, I'm actually working for MI6 so I can get my life back. And then they go down and meet, and then Alec Baldwin was like, no, we're turning you in. And then it's the Solomon Lane fake out where Simon Pegg's actually Solomon Lane. And then it's like Henry Cavill actually being John Larker, the apostle or whatever. And then
CIA directors,
and then Angela Bassett. Yeah. And then CIA trips them up, and then he betrays CIA. And then, oh my God.
And then the mask. And then Cavill's faked again.
It's just so
an absurd amount of twists within like 10 minutes. So, because it was at that point where I was like, okay, now I got it. Nope, I gotta think that I got it, and then I flip it, and that's really what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh my God, it was so tough to follow. That little shootout was kind of cool. I didn't think that action scene was that great. I think it could have been like a little bit cooler considering like all the lights were out. It could have been like a little bit more frantic, but. You know, what can you do?
And then it's time for Tom Cruise to make his millions. He begins running.
Oh, man.
And let me tell you, he looks good when he runs. He doesn't look like Chris Pratt when he runs, running down the mountain away from dinosaurs. He looks good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What I especially liked is when Simon Pegg's directing him through the city, and he goes to jump out of the window, and a woman in the building gives him a go-ahead nod, you got this, or go ahead and kill yourself. I was like, did you just see that woman nod to him? That was hilarious.
I didn't notice that. Did you notice that when he does do, like, the jump across the building and, like, slams into the side of it, that actual shot is when he broke his ankle.
Because
then, like, he actually ran across with the broken ankle.
Yeah, I heard he just kept it going because, like, they're definitely not going to let me shoot this again. I better just keep running. Yeah, that was really cool.
And then, of course, they
kept that in there.
Yeah, and then, of course, after that is when he does jump out the window like that and just, like, completely lands, like, on his legs again, even though, like, he supposedly just hurt his leg. Or you would assume that based on the scene or the shot that you got, but I don't know.
Yeah, that was the one of the few in this crazy action movie where I was like, oh, that would have broke his legs.
Yeah. But then he catches up to Henry Cavill, and Cavill throws out the picture of his wife or ex-wife or whatever, Michelle Monaghan, and boom, emotional stakes. He's really got to go after him now.
Yep.
And then you end up in...
Yeah, where was it? It was...
Kashmir or something? Like, yeah.
And I thought it was dumb foreshadowing. Rebecca Ferguson's like, I still can't figure out why he'd want to be in a hospital. Hey, did you guys hear that it's going to be a hospital? All right, we're almost at the hospital that we can't... We're not real sure why it's a hospital just yet.
I know. It was like... That clicked for me, like, immediately when they said it. I was like, of course you know why. Like, we know why. Yeah. Come on.
Also, Michelle Monaghan was in the trailer, I believe, so...
Yeah. Did you like the third act? Were you
about it? I was about it, yeah. I liked that you could tell that they were helicopters being filmed by cameras and not just CG nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And I would say that I liked that whole sequence better than, like, the second act car chase and motorcycle chase sequence. Mm-hmm. I was, like, actually kind of, like, on just like on the edge of my seat, like really worried about like what was gonna happen. I like obviously I had a feeling they were gonna pull it out, but like I didn't know like if some people were actually gonna die. I thought Simon Pegg was gonna die. I thought he was actually dead, like at one point. And yeah, I was pretty thrown off.
And that's the thing. I even like I knew Tom Cruise would make it through this. The wife was actually like wondering if they were gonna kill him in this movie, but I knew he'd make it through. And even then, I was still like really on the edge of my seat because God, it just looked so great, and the stakes were there, and I just felt it, you know.
Did you like the helicopter sequence? The whole all of the helicopter
stuff? I loved when he missed the rail and fell all the way down to the payload, and I especially liked that when he dropped the payload, he missed and was like, "Shit!"
Yeah,
so funny.
Yeah. Outside of that stuff, I didn't really like the whole chasing sequence. It was just like it went on too long for my taste.
And Henry Cavill's like, this guy's crazy. He's trying to run into us. What the hell? Like, it's the end of the world. You're basically ending the world. Like, of course.
I did like the shots of Cavill just sitting there like all like, all right, I'm just on a helicopter now. While Tom Cruise is like flying up and down behind him. But like once they crashed, it was awesome. That whole sequence of like the helicopter, both like cabins of the helicopter falling down that crack and stuff. And then them just like totally just wrecked on that cliff. Again, would have liked a little bit more of the fisticuffs there, but they were also completely beat up.
Yeah, they were fighting at like 20%. Like Henry Cavill had lost half his face, which I thought that was a surefire sign that he was going to come back and be the villain in the next movie. But then we get a little foreshadowing about as bad as an intensive a foreshadowing as the nail was in A Quiet Place. We get the hook. And boy, does the hook play a role.
Yeah, I was surprised at how, like, the fact that was the kill.
Yeah, right I mean, there. I thought it was going to just be the thing that keeps the helicopter up, but then it goes one level further and whips his face off. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of Philip Seymour Hoffman's death. If I remember correctly, he, like, lifts him up in a car, takes his head off. Do you remember in MI3? He rolls him up or out of a door, and a car just takes his head off. For your favorite movie, not a very good memory.
I know. Shame on me.
No,
shame
but that was me. Yeah. He's not coming back from that one.
Yeah. No. But then we get. I did like the little banter where they're like panicking with 10 seconds left. They're like, "All right, do it at 2 seconds." He's like, "Well, why not 1 second?"
He's like, that's a second. We're never gonna get back. We might as well wait the extra second. He's like, "You want to wait that long?" And I like Michelle Monaghan's like. She's like, how can I help? He's like, no, get her out of there. He's like, where's she going to go? Like, she's not going to make it. Let me help. I thought it was cool to have her there in the final moments.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I like that, like, when they do snip it, it goes, like, straight white screen.
Little fake
and
out.
It opens on, and then it opens on, like, Tom Cruise looking at the sunset or the sunrise or whatever it is. And you assume, like, no. But then, obviously, it's, like, it's all back to normal right away. And I'm glad they didn't, like, linger on it too long to be like, oh, it actually
it was
blew up.
Tense, but obvious. I think I kind of knew they're not going to kill every character in this franchise that's currently in this area, you know? But it was still, like, kind of a, ooh. What's gonna happen?
I mean, that would have been pretty wild if they just left Tom Cruise alive and he has to deal with the fact that he was the one that missed it, and because he was out of the blast radius or whatever. So
I liked when Michelle Monaghan, and God knows if I'm saying that last name right, was talking to Tom Cruise, and he's like, I'm so sorry, and she's like, don't be, I'm right where I need to be right now. And I'm like, wait, you're in this moment where you barely survived a nuclear blast and you're right where you need to be. Your ex-husband is about dead. You almost killed everybody that you've saved over the last 6 months working in this little hospital. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. And then again, right at the end when Angela Bassett was there, I was like, oh my God, are they going to take him to prison or something now? Like, is that what's going to happen? And then she just walked away and I was like, oh, all right. The backstabbing is over.
What do you think Michelle Monaghan whispered to Rebecca Ferguson's ear at the end? Or vice versa. I think Ferguson whispered.
Yeah, I think it was Rebecca Ferguson's whisper something.
I saw a comment on Reddit that was like, threesome? But somebody said they kind of like, they saw it again and the body language intended like, I'll take care of him from here. Or something like lame like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Did you catch Wes Bentley in the opening credits? Because I did and I was like, oh, he's going to be the bad guy. I was kind of glad that he wasn't the bad guy. Were you like, what are you doing here?
I didn't catch him in the opening credits, but then like when he walked up at the end, I was like, Look at this little dweeb. Yeah.
And he was like, hey, nice to see you, doctor. Hey, we should catch up over coffee. No, I'll drive, then you and my wife can catch up. Like, he was so giving and, like, open to this guy just joining. Yeah. It was kind of weird.
Just a complete foil to what Tom Cruise's Ethan Hunt is like. Just complete, like, Ethan Hunt, badass, crazy as hell.
And this dork.
And then this dude just milquetoast, like... fucking nicest
just
dude
the
in
guy
the world
who has sex sex with the lights off and his socks on. I had two other comments that I found on Reddit. Who knew Ethan's rock climbing skills would eventually pay off? Does this make Mission Impossible 2's opening scene the greatest piece of foreshadowing in film history? I'm inclined to agree. And then one more. The White Widow is actually the daughter of Max, the arms dealer in Mission Impossible 1. This was confirmed by the White Widow actress, and they mentioned the name Max multiple times, kind of hinting at that.
Huh.
So,
Interesting.
I think that's all I had, man.
Yeah, same here. All right, grades
I
again.
I had an A, and this was the third best Mission Impossible movie for me.
And I had an A minus 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 slash B plus B plus B plus. And this was actually number four for me, but I could see it climb to number three.
Excellent movie. Worth every penny. See it on the biggest screen, the best sound you can. Worth the IMAX. Yeah. Don't movie past this unless it's for your second viewing.
Because you
can't. Also, you can't. They just decided to block this movie. So.
All right, we'll be back next week. I have no idea.
I think we're
going to
see that
week,
John Cho movie, maybe Searching.
Oh,
there's
maybe,
that Mark Wahlberg, God knows what that movie's about movie, and then something else that I think we weren't too jazzed about. But I think Searching looks pretty good.
Yeah, Searching has like a 90% Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, so maybe Searching. But thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe and review on whatever podcast listening platform you use. Comment, share, like, all that fun stuff on social media. Check out glitchup.com for any new stuff we have up there. Granted, it has been a little bit since I think anyone's written anything. But,
we're slacking.
But
we're
still checking out. Yeah. Yeah, and thank you for listening.
And remember, you can't fight the friction.